I'm Rory O'Hara. Welcome to the Good House Podcast. Over the coming year, we will bring you insights into the world of fine wine from producers, journalists, and our own expert team. Stay tuned for interviews, vintage reports, and much more. It's the time of year when the wine world gets excited about the releases of Bordeaux en Primeur. On one of our many trips to Bordeaux last month, we took the opportunity to interview some of the top chateaux to gain an insight into the 2018 vintage. For the first of our three episodes about Bordeaux 2018, David Roberts, our buying director, and Matthew Jukes, one of the UK's leading Bordeaux wine critics, give you an overview of what to expect from this unpredictable and highly rewarding vintage. Enjoy.
The overall style of the 2018 Bordeaux vintage is very difficult to pin down because two particularly unusual things happened during the growing season. First of all, there was probably the worst weather you could ever imagine in the first half of the year. In the second half of the year, some of the best weather you could possibly imagine. So trying to do an overall summary is quite difficult. I think probably it's best to concentrate chateau by chateau. But what I can tell you is that there are some amazing wines.
The exciting thing about this vintage is that it's got all the principal components that I look for in a high-class vintage. You've got richness of fruit, you've got ripeness of fruit. There's a very good tannic structure. The wines are powerful. They do have an intensity and a depth. They have nice sweetness. The alcohol levels are probably on the slightly higher side in comparison to a normal vintage, which reflects the warmer summer season. And then the final thing, which I really love and all great Bordeaux should have, is these wines have a fabulous freshness. Great Bordeaux should leave the palate with a lovely fresh feeling. And the cool nights throughout the warm summer meant that the acidity level remained in the grapes, and you have this lovely freshness. So it's a very, very complete vintage in general.
What was exciting about this year is the unknown. It's literally turning up there, not reading any of the sort of press releases from the various chateaux, getting in the silly little hire car, going around all the chateaux and just going, ooh, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Next chateau. Ooh. Hello, this is interesting. And making notes as I go and building a picture. So after sort of 300 or 400 wines, you get a very, very good impression on what is an extraordinary vintage.
It wasn't a naturally easy vintage. There are some years where the seasons are perfect and almost the winemakers don't have to do anything at all. The wines make themselves. This, for me, was a really exciting vintage because it shows the marriage between nature and the human input. So we had the climatic conditions, which we'll talk about later, but it required the skills of man to adapt for some of the difficulties. So you really get that marriage, which I really like.
One of the strange things about 2018 is that I suppose a question you ask the winemakers is, what's it like? You know, what? It's an easy question. What does the 18 vintage remind you of? And their answer is, not too sure. It's a bit like a blend of 9 and 15, or it's a little bit like a, and you think, they don't know. They don't know because they haven't seen these conditions before.
2018 wasn't the easiest of vintages. The first 6 months of the year was one of the wettest on record. And this had problems. Most important was risk of disease. And it really tested the vineyard managers to keep on top of their vineyards, to protect them from, in particular, mildew, and to really protect from any forms of disease. They were saved, though, because then from the end of June, there was this most wonderful summer. Very warm conditions, very consistent, and fabulous what the wine producers would call luminosity, daylight sunshine, which helped the photosynthesis, helped the ripening, and then these very cold nights, which maintained the freshness. And I think this is where location, the terroir that people talk about, really came into play, because those vineyards with clay-based soils, or whether you were close to the river, you had a higher water table, you could contain the water from the early wet 6 months, and it meant that the vines didn't suffer from hydric stress, so they were able to continue their vegetative cycle all the way up to harvest time.
Bordeaux is still and always will be the most important fine wine region in the world. There are several reasons for that. History, obviously, it's always made great, great wine. Second reason, probably the most important reason in my opinion, is the wines age extremely well. And I think one of the criteria for a true fine wine is something that has the ability to age and evolve and become more beautiful over time. And Bordeaux does this brilliantly. The other point about Bordeaux is there's quite a lot of wine in Bordeaux. These are not little tiny properties. You think that some of the grand vins, some of the big names, the big castles that we're all completely enamoured with, make 15, 20, 25,000 cases of wine. By comparison to a little tiny Burgundy producer who might make 3 or 4 barrels of a certain cuvée, these are huge properties and they can affect global consumption. So around the world, Bordeaux is famous, it ages well, it tastes good, as we all know, and it has this mystique about it, which far transcends all other categories of wine, including champagne, I suppose.
Bordeaux wines really are quite unique. They have this extraordinary ability to age. And whilst modern winemaking styles allow people to drink their wines younger, the blend of Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot and Cabernet Franc really allows these wines to age for 15, 20 and up to even 40, 50 years old. So you have this opportunity to drink wines with a lovely primary fruit character when they are young, but also develop with the secondary, tertiary characteristics with age, which give a degree of complexity and nuance that is quite difficult to find in many other regions around the world. And that is, I think, something that's very, very unique and very special about Bordeaux. It's that ability to age and show the complexities of flavours as they do develop. I think what is special about this vintage is that there are some years where that's what the French call a homogeneity, an evenness across the board. Every appellation does very well, or it's quite easy to say the left bank has really performed this year, or the right bank has performed. In actual fact, in 2018, location of vineyard is very important, management of the vineyard, and the winemaking techniques were very important as well, in terms of very gentle handling of the fruit when you got it into the winery. So it's much harder to say it was a great vintage in a specific appellation. It's actually great vintages for individual wines. So as a buyer, I loved it because it was really challenging. You could assess, you couldn't just walk and say, this is an amazing vintage in Pauillac, because some estates have made some of their finest wines ever, but others might have just missed something. They're still very high-class wines, but not necessarily at the pinnacle. And that's what I love. So this is a vintage where we can act as merchants and say, we really believe in this wine more than possibly another one. So that's what I like about it. And I think if you are a wine lover, you don't want the monotony of all wines to taste the same. You know, you want to try the difference. You want Pichon Lalande to taste like Pichon Lalande and Pichon Baron, its neighbour, to taste like Pichon Baron. Two great wines, almost with identical scores, but totally different personalities. So that's what I like. You see those personalities in the wines.
I'm very conscious of the fact that scoring wine is a bit of a sort of, you know, kind of weird science. And I've always said that my notes are far more important than my scores. I mean, in the course of the 6 days that I was in Bordeaux, I wrote 30,000 words on the wines that I tasted. And that involves driving around everywhere, you know, and tapping it into an iPad one-handed. So there's a lot of notes about the wines. The scores are merely incidental. That's something that you, it's like a quick reference. Having said this, if you take the two together and you read the note and you attach the score, then you can see that I like some of these wines enormously. And in fact, I gave two wines perfect scores in this vintage, and they're two wines that I've never given perfect scores to before. Now that excites me, because that means that two Chateau have completely and utterly nailed it. In addition to that, some of the very famous names did extremely well, but others dropped the ball a bit. And that's again why I think you need critical commentary. Of course, I'd love you to read my notes, but other people, compare other people's notes, compare other people's writing, take advice from experts, say from fine wine merchants like Good House, who have an incredible team, all tasting the wines, going out several times, repeat tasting the same wines that they like to check that they're as good as they thought they were. These things are critical for when you actually come to spend 500, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 pounds on wine. So for me, there are great wines out there, but as always, do your research.
2018 is a vintage that has taken everybody's by surprise because the seasons were difficult, but it was wonderful to see how the wines have developed. And the Chateau owners really are genuinely excited with the quality of this vintage. You can speak to people like Olivier Bernard, and he genuinely believes this is the finest vintage that he's made over and above his 2005, his 2010 and 2016. So that's really exciting. And there are many other Chateau owners who we visited, and they might not necessarily say that they think they're better wines, but they stand alongside their 2016s and 10s and 5s. So, you know, it is an exciting vintage.
I have a feeling, I have a gut feeling about this, and I've written it in the introduction to my report, that people that are used to making quite large scale wines, so not the delicate, very slender Bordeaux, but people that are used to making the richer, more structured, more long-lived Bordeaux, have done extremely well in this vintage because they're used to it, they've seen it before. And if you follow those estates, I think that you might have wines that are truly cosmic. But I think some of them will far outlive me. That's how good they are. Others, even with famous names, perhaps you should leave in the cellar. I'll leave it up to you to make those decisions. But I really, really enjoyed analysing this vintage. And I will enjoy even more than that drinking the wines in years to come.